reading from Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, and I'll begin at verse number 1. Psalm 24, verse number 1, the Word of God reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
He shall receive the blessings from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
This is the generation of them that seek
Jacob." "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in."
"Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in power."
"Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." "Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Selah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. If we can have our ushers come to the front at this time, we're going to collect our offering today. And so this is our church offering. After the service this morning, we'll collect a love offering for Brother David. But just don't forget, the tithe belongs to the Lord. And so we want to continue being faithful and obedient and ask for God to continue meeting the needs of our ministry. And of course, that means he has to meet our daily needs, too. We're praying for some folks that are out of work and have some financial needs. We want to pray for all of that, that God opens up the door. But let's pray now and ask for God's blessings on the offering. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for how you provide for every need in our lives. Lord, you give us everything that we need. And Lord, we recognize that the food on our tables, the shelter that we have, the clothes on our back, all of it comes from you. Lord, as we have this chance to worship you through our giving, help us to remember we're just giving just a portion of what's already yours. Lord, help us to give with generous hearts because you're generous, you're gracious to us. Lord, help us to not hold back. Help us to give even sacrificially in obedience to how your Spirit leads us. And would you continue sustaining our ministry? We pray for the many missionaries that we're able to support all around the world, that we would continue being able to support them and even do more for missions. And so, Lord, bless this offering, bless each gift and each giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's our pleasure to have Brother David Vilsius preaching for us today. And, I introduced him earlier this morning. I told a little bit of his background for those who may not know. I remember David as a young teenager, just about 14, 15 years old. And I remember visiting him in his home and meeting with him. And just remember, he just all of a sudden had this spark and desire to really get faithful in church. To that point, he wasn't really that faithful. He wouldn't mind me telling you that, but God did something in his heart that led him to be completely surrendered to the Lord. And one of the things that I've always admired about David is that he has been always willing to do whatever God wants him to do. That from that moment that he was just open and available to the Lord. And he started getting involved in ministry here at our church, which I think that's a good pattern to follow. He started helping out ushering, helping out children's ministry, going out soul winning, cleaning around here. I remember he asked Pastor Margaret, can I come to the business meeting, please? And so he would come to some of the business meetings. He just wanted to plug in somewhere and be active in the Lord's work. And it wasn't too long before he came and said, I think God's calling me to preach. And I said, you know, I'm not surprised. And so he went off to Crown, got his training. And we're so thankful for how God is leading him now, going to the United Kingdom to preach the gospel in such a needy place. And so we're thankful he's a homegrown product here of our ministry and our church, here in our community. And so we thank God for that. Brother David, you come and share what God's put on your heart and tell us how we can pray for you in the ministry there in England. Thank you, brother.
Would you please take the word of God with me and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter number 11. And I'm very thankful to have the opportunity before I leave to spend one last Sunday, my last Sunday in the States here at my home church. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was invited to come here by my uncle from Haiti. We came on a New Year's Eve service. We came really late, like around 11:15 at night. I remember sitting in the back and just wondering about the service and all that we were going to hear. And when Pastor Barker preached the gospel, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and I knew that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior. And I'm so thankful for the investment of Pastor Lubin, Pastor Barker, and for many of you in my life. And I remember when I graduated, or coming to the end of my senior year of high school, or maybe even my junior year, Pastor Lubin mentioned how I should go to Bible college to study for the ministry, to prepare. And I remember getting into his little car and driving from Elmont all the way to Knoxville, Tennessee, just to see the school. And I remember just being there and knowing that's where God wanted me to be and to study. And I'm just thankful for all the blessings of God upon my life and upon the life of this church. And I'm very eager to share with you this message that the Lord has placed upon my heart from this passage of Scripture in John chapter number 11. Let's take our reading starting at verse number 17. John chapter 11, verse number 17, the Word of God reads, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, and went her way, and called Mary, she called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother hath not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the wonderful opportunity that you have allowed us to partake in being in your house this morning. And I pray that your Spirit would be very present among us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we are a needy people. We desperately need you. And I pray that the Spirit of God would open up our hearts and would show us from thy word the areas in our lives that we must surrender to look to you for. We'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw your attention to a word that we find in this account. If you look with me in verse number 21, the word of God says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if," would you please circle that word, "if, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Notice with me in verse number 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here." And notice also with me in verse number 40, where the Lord Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if." With God's help, for a few moments, I want to speak on the ifs of life. The ifs of life. The Word of God records for us in this passage of Scripture that Lazarus was sick, even sick unto death. They had seen how Jesus had raised, had healed people from the dead and had healed many infirmities all throughout his ministry. So they had called for Jesus to come to the place where Lazarus was. And the Word of God tells us that when Jesus had heard that Lazarus, his friend, whom he loved, was sick, he stayed in the same place and he didn't move. Then the place came, the time came when Lazarus had died, and they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you were just here when we had called for you, our brother had not died. Lord, if you had just come to this place at this time, our brother would still be living today." And no doubt any of us who have lived for any period of time can testify that there are many times in our lives that we have to face those questions. If this had not happened, my life would have been entirely different. If I had said yes instead of no, if the coronavirus had never taken place, everything would have been better. And oftentimes Jesus Christ comes to us in the ifs of life to show us that he's sovereign despite the circumstances, showing us that he is in full control despite the questions or despite the ifs that we might have. I want to draw your attention to a little girl in Putnam County, New York, who was sick even at birth. She had an eye infection. In those days, the doctors would come and do house visits. And on one particular week, her normal doctor was away on vacation. So they had called for a replacement doctor. But this man who came to replace her original doctor was a fraud. He had forged the medical certifications. He wasn't an actual doctor. He was just in it for the money. So this man who came to this little girl's house gave this little girl a medicine that made her blind her entire life. During the end of her life, she was interviewed, and the person interviewing her said, "I pity you that God hath not given you your sight." And this little girl who grown up to be a great woman of God said this, "I was so glad that the Lord had not given me my sight in this life, because the first face that I will ever see is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ." In fact, this little girl, of course, had these ifs. If my doctor had not been gone, if I was given the right medicine. She came to write these words that we sing hundreds of years later. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. You see, she came to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ met her in her ifs, met her in her difficult circumstances, met her in the questions that other people were asking, to show us that we serve a God that is in complete control. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, despite the ifs. The Word of God teaches us that all things come together and work together for good. The Word of God doesn't tell us that all things are good, but rather all things, good or bad, comes together for the people of God. So this is the lesson that Jesus Christ was teaching his people. And number one, I want to show you this morning the if of when. The if of when. Notice with me in verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You see, when they had called for Jesus to come and to heal their brother, Jesus stayed in the same place. And when Lazarus died, they came to Jesus and they said, where were you? If you were just here when we had called for you, our brother had not died. And Jesus was teaching them a great lesson. In Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Martha wanted Jesus to come at the time that she thought best. But the Lord had different plans. And oftentimes we pray and we say, Lord, would you please answer this prayer now? Would you please do this particular thing? And God says unto us, his ways and his thoughts are different than our ways and our thoughts. Martha thought the best thing would have been for Jesus to have come that moment. But the Word of God tells us that when Jesus heard, look with me in verse number 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Why was it that oftentimes, as you read the gospel records and people come to Jesus for healing, Jesus would heal them immediately? But here, the friend in whom Jesus loved was sick and they had come to him and Jesus didn't move an inch for 2 days. And you say, oh, Jesus was delayed. Oh, Jesus was ignoring them. No, Jesus had a perfect plan, teaching them that his timing is the best. Not when we think it's best, but rather when he thinks is best. All throughout the scriptures you find the appointed time, the appointed time, the appointed time. In the gospel records, it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, he came with Zechariah and Elizabeth at the appointed time, with Abraham and Sarah at the Lord's appointed time. And Jesus was teaching them a great lesson here, that he is always on time. Even when we can't see it, even when we can't understand it, I wouldn't have been able to understand if I was Mary or Martha why Jesus didn't move to come and to heal my brother if I was them. But Jesus had a great plan. Oftentimes we pray and we say, Lord, would you please answer this prayer now? Lord, would you please do this perfect thing that we're praying for? And he reveals unto us that his time is best. Jesus also shows us the triumph of the gospel. You see, there had never been a time in Martha's life up to this where she had made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, where she had come to believe. So in the midst of her trouble and in the midst of her trial, the Lord Jesus says unto her in verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In verse number 27, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe. Remember Mary and Martha? Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Martha was cumbered about with much service. But Jesus wanted Martha to believe. Could it be that Jesus allowed the physical death of Martha's brother to occur so that the spiritual life of Martha would occur? Oftentimes we disconnect what we're going through to what God is doing in this world. In fact, if you continue to read on, you will find that because of the death of Lazarus and because of the miracle that Jesus Christ did, many people came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used the trial, he used the difficulty, he used a storm in their life to bring people to the gospel. So we find the if of when. They said, Lord, if you had just been here when we had called for you, everything would have been different. And also we find the if of where. Martha brings the if of when, and Mary brings the if of where in verse number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother hath not died. She came to where Jesus was and said, Lord, if you were just here in this particular place, everything would have been different. Have you ever noticed why Jesus wept? In verse number 35, the Word of God says Jesus wept. Why would Jesus weep? Knowing that in just a moment, he was going to turn all of their sorrow to joy. Knowing that he was going to take death and turn it into life. Notice with me, the Word of God says in verse number 37, verse number 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus sees our weeping. The Word of God tells us that he is acquainted with all our ways. He understandeth our thoughts from afar off. And the Bible says that after he saw her weeping, and after he saw Mary weeping, after he saw the Jews weeping, the Word of God tells us he wept himself. We have a God in heaven that has been touched with the infirmities that we have. In other words, when you weep, he knows what you're feeling. When you're going through sorrow, he's going through it with you. All the pain and everything that we deal with in life, the Lord Jesus is right there with us. And as Mary and Martha was weeping, the Lord Jesus Christ was weeping with them. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Would Jesus allow temporary suffering to happen so that eternal reward would take place? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why Jesus said this, Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The life that we are living here on this earth, and the circumstances that we're facing today, the trials and the tears and the sorrow, they are all temporary. That's why Jesus wept with them, because he was weeping with their temporary sorrows. But he allowed a temporary situation to happen so that an eternal gain would take place. I know here often, I remember when I was a teenager, they used to sing the song, This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I think oftentimes Christian people err when they dig their roots too deep into this world. Not realizing that at any moment the Lord can call us home. Not realizing that at any moment our time on this earth could be done. For there is another world for us to live in. live for. For the Lord has prepared a place for us. Peter put it this way. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rather rejoice. Oftentimes, Christian people, they'll face trials and they'll face these different storms, and they would say, what did I do? Why is God angry? But Peter put it this way. Don't think, as a believer, when you're facing a trial, that something strange is happening unto you. Trials and tribulations and pain, that is normal for the believer. For it was normal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffered, he has called us. Thou should, who would see God unto thee, that if thou wouldest simply, and I may believe. Jesus allowed this circumstance, he allowed this trial to happen so that his people would come to believe. In fact, the Lord Jesus uses this word, to the intent. God had a reason and a purpose behind their sorrow. God had a reason and a purpose behind their suffering. And he says, to the intent. Do you know that God is an economical God? He will not waste a single trial in your life. He will not waste a single difficulty in your life. And you can trust him in knowing that everything that happens ultimately is working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, Jesus had another plan. Jesus wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead. In the tradition of the Jews back in those days, after 2 days, they would declare that a man is dead. So Jesus waited another 2 days. He waited 4 days. And he came to the grave so that no one would be able to deny the miracle that he was about to accomplish. And sometimes the Lord Jesus will allow a situation to get so bad, he will allow the situation to come to the place where it's 4 days, where there's absolutely nothing that you and I can do, so that when he comes through, when he answers prayer, when he gives the victory, no one would be able to take the credit. No one would be able to say, Lazarus fainted. No one would be able to say, a physician came and healed him before Jesus came. No, Jesus waited. And he allowed the circumstance to get to that place. And the Lord simply said, if thou wouldest just believe. Can you hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying that to you this morning? Upon your circumstance, upon your trial, upon what you're dealing with. If you would simply just believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God. He wanted to glorify himself. Notice with me in verse number 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Isn't that amazing? They had seen what God did in their lives. Then they believed. And oftentimes, that's the same thing that is happening with us. People ought to see what God has done in our life. Then they will believe. We certainly cannot disconnect what we're going through today with what God is doing in this world. Perhaps the trial that you're facing, God is using that to bring other people unto himself. For the Bible tells us, for the Lord is in the midst of the earth working salvation. God had an intent from the very beginning when they had called on Jesus to come and to answer. And Jesus had the intent that his people certainly would come to believe. Come to believe what? The word of God says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God wants us to believe and understand that he is able. God wants us to believe and understand that he answers prayer. God wants us to believe and to understand that he is much bigger and much more powerful than whatever circumstance that we may find ourselves in. He has called us to live a life of faith. For the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Said I not unto thee, that if thou would simply just believe. Are you believing today? Or are you asking your ifs? Are you questioning why God would allow these things to happen? It's amazing that they were able to bring these to the Lord Jesus. Lord, if you were just here. Where were you when we needed you? Where were you when we called upon you? Oh, Jesus knew all about it. In fact, when they had brought the news to Jesus, notice with me in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Even before they brought it to Jesus, Jesus all knew, he knew all about it. He said, "Lazarus is sick," and Jesus said, "Don't worry, the sickness that he has is for the glory of God." Oh, even before Lazarus became sick, God had a plan. And I want to say this morning that God has a plan. He has an intent. It is not his desire for us to say, if this had happened, and question and worry, and live a life of fear and anxiety, but rather simply to believe. Simply to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For salvation, yes, absolutely. And also for every day, for every situation, every moment, to walk consciously in his presence, acknowledging and understanding that he is able and that he is good and that he has a plan for everything that we are going through. The ultimate plan of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life is that he would glorify himself in us. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said that his earnest desire in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, is that God would be glorified in his body, whether it would be by life or by death. He understood. God wants to glorify himself with us. He wants to glorify himself in our situation. Sometimes he may allow our situations to come to a place where it's 4 days late, so that he will glorify himself. The word this morning is very clear. It's very simple. As the Lord Jesus said, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou would simply believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And may God help us moving forward to believe and to trust him and to rest upon him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word of God that gives us understanding and wisdom and instruction. Father, we're thankful for this passage of scripture. Father, as you are teaching us that your timing is perfect and there is no need to fear, that all things are working together, even this moment, even the things that we can't put together in our own minds, you are working together, them together. You are in total control. Help us to cast away every fear, every doubt. Help us to, by faith, quench every fiery dart of the devil. And help us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for every circumstance, for every situation. Help us never to forget these things that you have taught us in your word, that you truly are the resurrection and the life, that our life on this earth is temporary, and one day you will call us home where we shall be with you for all of eternity, as the word of God tells us, where everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. We're thankful for the promise of eternal life. We're thankful for the promise of heaven. We're thankful for the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would help us, even moving forward from now, to live in complete faith in obedience to our precious and wonderful Savior who died on the cross to provide eternal salvation for us. So we thank you for these things. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.